This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and Amy Carnevale is here with us in Studio 2 for our first conversation since she was voted the new head of the Massachusetts GOP last month. We have a lot to talk about, from the party's finances to her plans to bring Baker and Trump Republicans under one tent. Let's dive right in. Amy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks very much for having me.
So it is a big job. You announced recently the party has $600,000 in unpaid bills, and the losses for the party in the last election have been widely reported. You're a month in now, so I want to know, a month in or so now, is this big job as in super energizing, big job as in overwhelming, big job as in bit of both, not as big a job as you thought?
Yeah, it's a big job, and it is energizing. I think, you know, it is a new day at the Mass GOP and for the Republican Party in Massachusetts. We are a month in, but we're focused on rebuilding the party and focused on supporting candidates who are electable and who can win elections. And in fact, we even have a special election today for the mayor of Attleboro that we're focused on, and we've been engaging with Jay DeLisio's campaign in that race.
So I do want to flag that on the day of an election, we don't talk about an active race unless we have both voices.
Sure.
But duly noted. And from there, I do want to ask, kind of in the broad sense, I am assuming that the $600,000 was the biggest negative surprise. If I'm wrong, please tell me. What is the biggest positive surprise you've had as you've taken over these reins over the last month?
You know, on the positive side, I've been really encouraged by grassroots Republicans, Republican town committees, maybe Republicans who have stood on the sidelines in the past, over the past couple of years, who are re-energized and ready to get back to support the party. So that has been really encouraging. We certainly have more work to do, but I've been encouraged by the support so far.
What do they want? These grassroots Republicans who have been on the sidelines the last couple of years and are champing at the bit, what do they want?
The message I've heard is we want to stop the inter-party bickering. You know, we're less than 9% now of registered voters in the Commonwealth. So we can't afford to be fighting amongst ourselves, and that's too often marked the party in the past. So they just want to move forward and focus on getting Republicans elected and, you know, and stop the infighting between Republicans in our party.
There are a lot of very specific things I want to talk to in our time together. The last sort of broad general question. As we've covered the state party over the last year, one of the things that's been on my mind a lot is the importance of a two-party system for democracy in any election cycle, any state, et cetera. How are you thinking about that piece of it? You just mentioned the 9% registration level. We're aware that, you know, across the congressional delegation and the statewide offices, Democrats are in control. Where do you place that? It's healthy when there's a fight, right, in this mix.
Yeah, I think so. The business sector, you know, I've been hearing from folks in the business sector who want to see a competitive two-party system. And they are individuals who are not particularly political, but they think it's healthy to have a democratic system where you have that balance of two parties. And that is lacking right now in our state, given the, you know, the results of the last election. We have no statewide Republicans, no federally elected Republicans. And so we do not have that balance effectively, or, you know, even in our legislature, we don't have a veto-sustaining or veto-proof minority. So we're hearing from the business sector that they want to get back to a functioning party that can help support candidates, present an alternative and have a two-party system, because they think that's healthy for democracy.
I do want to dive into the money. It is one of the challenges here. And when you were running, one of the things that you talked about was commitments from donors that if the party would make a change, and we'll come back to Jim Lyons, who is your predecessor, in a minute, but if the party would make a change, there'd be financial support there. You've been pushing out more information about the state of the finances of the party. We are now at about $600,000 in unpaid bills. You have said you're not sure the party is actually on the hook. The party apparatus is actually on the hook for all of that money. What's the balance sheet look like today? What can you tell me?
Yeah, so I'll be announcing some more detailed numbers later today. I came into
you
the
You could announce them here.
Yeah, thank you. So I did come into the position knowing we were about $100,000 in debt. That was my assumption, more or less. After I was elected, we received hefty invoices. And again, last week I announced totaling $602,000. That was a big surprise. Nobody expected that. We are continuing to wade through those invoices. Many of those invoices we did list with the Office of Political and Campaign Finance, OCPF. We are going to, after guidance we received yesterday from OCPF, we're going to release the details on all of that $602,000.
Today, is that what you're releasing later today?
Yes. Yeah, so we'll release all of that today. There are still invoices that are under review, and we'll note those with OCPF that they are under review. But that, in the interest of transparency, we are going to release the details of all the invoices and note those which are under review.
So that's what the party owes. I'm also curious, the donor response, the financial response. You talked about the business community that's somewhat apolitical but wants healthy competition. We've heard from some Republican donors who have said, make a leadership change. We will step up. We will make sure the party's solvent. Has fundraising lived up to your expectations? B, how much have you raised in the last month? And C, do you think that in the foreseeable future, let's say 6 to 12 months, that gap is closed and you're back on solid financial footing?
Yeah. So on the fundraising, we have started to raise money. Our first big event is planned next week, and you'll see much more money come in over the next month. Frankly, the first month was getting organized. So our numbers won't be too high this month, but next—
And you'll report those next Monday, I think,
yes,
right?
That's right. So we'll have more substantial fundraising numbers to report next month. I can report. We do have a finance chair. We've not yet announced it, but I can share with you today. Former Secretary Mike Keneally is our finance chair of the Mass GOP, and he is helping with the event the large event we're having next month.
And is this speaking with Amy Carnevale, chair of the Mass GOP? You're talking about the fundraising event that's coming up. Is the money a place to begin to pull back in moderate Republicans, right? So when you're organizing something, there's lots of ways to ask people to get involved, right? Mm-hmm. Is the money the place to begin to widen that tent again, or whatever metaphor you want, get more moderate Republicans back into action with the party?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of money and messaging. I think the message at the top is critically important as well. Republicans of all stripes want to know that they're welcome in the Republican Party. And so that's the message that I'm putting out, is they're welcome as candidates and they're welcome as supporters of candidates.
So I do want to talk about your predecessor. Now, nobody wants to do that, right? Every new leader wants to start from forward and go. There are particular couple of liabilities with your predecessor, Jim Lyons, who you beat by a handful of votes. The first is getting that party apparatus, that committee, who many still supported him, backing you. There was a lot of comment around an election night that seemed commodious, for lack of a better word. Are you finding that those who voted for Lyons are coming into the fold, or do you have their backing and support?
I think it's still a work in progress. I think, just a month in, I'm still working to try to build the support and show them, what kind of leader I want to be. So, I'm still working on it.
And the money mess, right? We're talking about referrals. Back to 2021 with the case with Ryan Fatman and his wife and Jim Lyons and potential campaign finance violations that were referred to the Attorney General's office. Concerns raised around money that was spent to investigate then-candidate Maura Healey's romantic life and whether there was coordination with another PAC. Can you just move on? Or as the party head, do you have responsibilities around follow-up action for your predecessor's actions?
Yeah, I do have some follow-up responsibility because many of those activities were directed by the party, even though I was not leading it at the time. There are still active, at least one active investigation we know of, and perhaps two. And the party is potentially liable. There could be fines coming from OCPF as a result of those investigations. So it remains a concern for me and a priority for me to address those. We have hired legal counsel as well as new compliance counsel to help navigate those waters and be in full compliance moving forward. And, Mike Keneally, characterize the party as kind of a turnaround. And so, you know, that's, I think many in the business sector, that's how they're looking at it. And we'll address those issues as they come. But, you know, my vision moving forward is to be as transparent and compliant as possible. And that's the best we can do.
Are you getting positive feedback from people for the level of transparency? What are you hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So let's move on now to sort of the plan on the electoral side, right? Fielding candidates. I'm assuming the emphasis in the next wave will be down ticket races. Is that correct?
That's right.
What's the imperative there and how do you get it going?
Yeah. So, you know, initially it's municipal candidates. We are a little late because it's actually recruiting season right now on municipal candidates. So, you know, coming in, you know, during that process, you know, we're a little bit behind the eight ball, but we're working on it and working on recruiting at municipal candidates. And then looking ahead 2 years from now at the state legislative races as well as the U.S. Senate race, you know, those will be priorities for the party.
Thinking about Elizabeth Warren in the U.S. Senate
yes,
race?
Yes, absolutely.
Do you think you've got potential candidates who could either go up against her or make a run if she runs for president again?
Yes. I've heard interest already from candidates interested in making considering a run.
Have you tell me about any of them are?
So they're considering a run. And I think, you know, what has been conveyed to me is, you know, having a stable party is important to them in their decision making.
So as an observer, it feels like both the potential and the rock and the hard place lie in this space between the long-term success of moderate Republicans, especially at the state level in the governor's office in the state, and the motivation that Trump supporters have had to be active and be in the base. And when I think about this question of fielding municipal candidates, it feels like there's both opportunity there, but that's where the rock and the hard place really meet. You have both been a Trump supporter and spoke out against the January 6th attempted insurrection. Jim Lyons was much more of a, if you're a Baker supporter, you're a Republican in name only. That has not been your message. What are the subject matters, the platform, the policy issues that allow you to thread that needle and bring forward candidates in down ticket with appeal across the whole party and potentially to independents?
Yeah, so as a party leader, you know, I have conservative values and I welcome Republicans with conservative values. But we need to be cognizant how we convey those values and our priorities, frankly, once Republicans are elected to office to voters. What do we want to do in office? And I think that's too often been forgotten by the party in the past and some candidates in the past. So, you know, I'll be looking to work with candidates who come from their communities, who are invested in their communities, and talking about the priorities important to those communities, whatever those priorities may be. Often there's fiscal issues. Often there's, you know, issues with the school committee, you know, as a result of the kind of COVID lockdown. So, you know, the priorities do vary candidate to candidate and race to race. But I'll be looking to support all those candidates.
Amy Carnevale, Mass Chair of the GOP, is there a hidden superpower for the Massachusetts Republican Party today that you see an ability to unleash over the next couple of years?
Yeah, I think looking ahead to, you know, some of the economic issues our state may be facing down the road, it's been widely reported over the last couple of weeks, the number of individuals leaving the Commonwealth. You know, I think that's a big concern looking ahead for the competitiveness of Massachusetts. So I think, you know, that's something that I plan to talk a lot about. And that's an area where I think the Republican Party can really add value to the dialogue and perhaps connect with voters in a way that we have not in the past.
And we're talking to you in February 2024. It's a year from now. We're reflecting back on your first year as leader. You know it's been a success if fill in the blank.
I think if we have a more stable message, we have a good, you know, solid group of candidates running for office. And frankly, you know, if the party infrastructure itself is out of the news, I mean, that's actually my goal to be, you know, as a party to be, you know, less in the news and you'd hear directly from candidates.
Amy Carnevale is the new chair of the Massachusetts GOP about a month into service. It was great to have you here in Studio 2. Will you come back and talk to us again?
Absolutely. I look forward to it. Thank you for having me.
Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
The first 100 days is really cleaning up the mess, going through all of the documentation at the party, seeing what resources are really there, being able to keep the lights on, being able to hire a good chief of staff, executive director. Going to the donors is the next thing, and making sure that they understand that you can do what you promised that you said you're going to do, which is right the ship and start winning elections again.
You have to appeal to the independents. Most of the voters in Massachusetts are unenrolled, so they're up for grabs. Republicans need to get some attractive candidates in order to get independents to pull a Republican ballot.
Hopefully they can start recruiting candidates, you know, and start with these sort of state legislative races. Nothing's going to change immediately because of this vote, just because there's a new person at the helm.
There are three voices you were hearing there. Massachusetts Republican Party member Jennifer Nasur, who used to be the chair of the state GOP. The middle voice was WBUR's senior State House reporter Steve Brown. And the last was Boston Herald columnist Joe Battenfeld. That was from a conversation that we had the day after Amy Carnevale won the chairship of the Massachusetts GOP, kind of laying out the agenda. And it's a compare and contrast with what we just heard from her, as we often do after we've had elected officials. We've asked WBUR senior State House reporter Steve Brown to join us now and reflect on what we just heard. Steve, welcome. Thanks for listening in.
Thanks, Tiziana.
Top takeaways from our conversation with Carnevale.
Yeah, she made some news here. She mentioned a name, Mike Keneally. A lot of people may not recognize that name. He was the economic development secretary under Charlie Baker just up until 2 months ago. So it seems that she's reaching out to the Charlie Baker wing of the party to get them involved, get them to start contributing again. So that may be a major step in her attempt to rebuild the party.
What do you think the implications there could be, Steve? I mean, we've talked a lot. We talked a lot with her right here in Studio 2 just now about this need to build a tent that can hold moderate Republicans, as well as the Trump-oriented base of the party that has been so active, day to day.
Yeah, it's a balancing act for her. She wants to keep the more conservative members of the party who are very active and very vocal, keep them engaged and involved. But she also doesn't want to scare away moderate Republicans, independents, who might bristle at the ultra conservative approaches of the previous leader.
So we talked with Carnevale, Steve, about the need to field down ticket candidates, strong candidates. What are you hearing in the State House, if anything, about enthusiasm around down ticket races, potential for more people to enter the legislative races this next time around? You know, the pool of talent and interest for filling seats.
Yeah, it's a little early right now for legislative candidates to surface. It's almost close to 2 years from now that races will be running. They will start percolating in the fall and the spring as far as actual names. But that's where they have to build, and that's where they actually have their best chances. Getting some of these legislative seats back when Jim Lyons took over the party in 2019, there were 32 Republicans in the 160-member House. Now there are only 26. So they need to start building that back up, and that's where they can. There are some districts out there, if you look at them, they're really purple districts, and they're competitive districts. So, she's got to target those and make sure whatever limited resources they have, they can build on those. It sounds like they're looking for a candidate to run for U.S. Senate. But will that be sort of a sacrificial lamb, just a name to put on the ballot, realizing that, every dollar that we put into this, which could be a losing campaign, is a dollar we can't put into something that would be a winning campaign.
So, Steve, very briefly, last question. She said a year from now, success for her is in part if the party apparatus is not the thing in the news anymore. What will you be watching over the next few months?
Do they have money? Do they have candidates? And she makes a good point. Are we not reporting on the internal agita of the party and just focusing on the issues and the candidates? If we do that, then she will have been successful.
WBUR Senior State House Reporter Steve Brown. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Tiziana.
There is more ahead. When we return, we're going to turn our attention to the Boston Celtics. More explicitly, the question of the coaching scandal that's hung over the team over the last year. Is it over? Should it be? And what comes next? That's ahead. I'm Tiziana Dearing. You're listening to Radio Boston.